Morning, my thermometer said it was 35 outside. One of them said 35, one said 37. When I left, come down here, they still said 35 and 37. So, cool morning. Jack was talking about how cool it was when to him out here. And I know Anita said this morning she was interested in a hug because it warmed her up a little bit. So that was good. Understand. So it's good to see everyone out this morning, even though it's a little bit cool out here. Good to have everyone here. We're studying from this little book. Now, I look back there. There's no other copies back there with this little book, Pondering Precious Proverbs. Several of you have made some comments about the fact that you enjoyed having the book at home during the week and things. It's something kind of, you can work a page or two at a time, fill in some blanks, and it's good to pick up some of that information and helps us out a good bit, I think, maybe through the week. I know it's one thing. A lot of times I like to look at it and think of just maybe work a day or two on a page or two and as I work toward toward Sunday. Last week we stopped at the bottom of page 46. I think we finished talking about we're talking basically about what the wise men said about wisdom. And last week we talked about a wise person never really stops learning. And he warns others. And Solomon talked about wisdom being the principal thing we need to get a hold of. We talked about some of those features there about wisdom. We talked about the difference between wisdom and knowledge. And the fact that we've known a lot of people who have a lot of knowledge, but they don't know how to apply it well, and so it doesn't help them. Just because they're smart does not always help them. So anyway, we talked about some other things there about what we can do as far as our Christian life and how we can use some of this knowledge. Wise men make the best of opportunities. Wise men will also speak carefully and with discretion. And that's kind of where we stopped. Bottom of page 46, the wise men will listen to good advice. You know, that's, you ever run into people who just didn't want to listen to other people? They knew it all. They knew what was, I think I may have mentioned this last week, but I've worked in the nuclear industry nearly all my life and end up working for a lot of ex-sailors who were boat captains, who were nuclear submarine captains, captains of nuclear ships. Now, those guys were smart as can be. And they were well educated. They know a lot of good things, but a lot of them had that attitude when they came out that I know what's to be done and I don't want to listen to you. Do what I say. And yet maybe you would, having some experience in the field, you might say, well, this is not the best approach. I don't care. Their attitude was they were not going to listen to other people. Now, that's not true for all of them. I don't mean to say that from too general, but at the same time, a lot of those guys had a lot of those attitudes. And a lot of them came out of the nuclear Navy, for instance, and then they started working for nuclear power plants and places like that. But the good advice sometimes is good for all of us. Is there anybody in here or anybody you know of that's an expert in everything? No, none of us are, you know. Now, Terry, don't say anything about Pat now. Don't. Okay, well, I've heard that one too. As an expert, is a drip that's under pressure that's 50 miles from home or something like that. But still, you know, even for anything that we're into in life, none of us know all of it, do we? So if I'm going to get into something that I don't know that much about, what should I do? Yeah, grab somebody that knows more about it. If I'm going to be doing some oh, I don't know, it's electrical wiring around my house, and I've got some questions about some of it. I need to ask Toby Ward, or I need to ask Travis or somebody like that, hey, can you give me some advice on this? Now, if I've got some experience, that's one thing. But see, most of us go through life, and when we come out of high school, we head in some sort of direction. If you go off to college or go off to a vocational school, and you pick some path, a little while later we realize maybe that's not the path I really wanted to be on. Some of that experience and things helps us to see what we would want to look at, though. But none of us are expert in anything. We need to get some help. And that's true for those of us as Christians, even in our Christian life, right? There are things. How many of us, for instance, have set aside and looked at people raising kids? Some of us have been through that, okay? Some of us have gotten through and raised two boys or two girls or a family of four or five. You know, there's some advice we could give a lot of young people if they would listen, if they would be interested in that advice. It might be pretty good advice. And it doesn't mean you have to take the advice, but at least get some advice. The wise men will listen to good advice. Proverbs 12:15. The way of the what? The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he that heeds unto counsel is wise. You know what? Also, Proverbs 14, verse 15. The simple believe every word, but the prudent man looks well to his going. You know, to be prudent is to just not accept everything that comes our way. Look at how many people, maybe even in the religious world, are willing to accept what somebody else tells them. And, you know, even for, I trust David with the message that David brings us, and I would try to bring out the message correctly here too. But if it's not here, we need to be checking it. We need to check what David says, and we need to check what I say. If it's not here and doesn't compare, we need to pay attention to it. And a lot of folks in this world simply take the message given to them and move on. You know, one thing I thought of a while back. I didn't look all of this up, but I can remember it some time back from a management standpoint. Henry Ford and Thomas Edison and Alexander Graham Bell were friends, and they get together every so often and talk about their ideas for business and what they relied on one another. They tried to get good advice from each other, and it's something that had not worked for Henry Ford, then maybe Thomas Edison decided, well, that's not a good approach. I won't try that. They were working together to understand and look at some things, and that was a good thing. Look at the brilliance that God has put into an eldership to be a plurality of men. And we talked about this a little bit last week in that we, as elders, we don't always see everything. We come from a different background. We come from a different perspective sometimes. And it's good that we have a plurality of things so that we can talk about those things and work out differences and find. And every single management course I ever took in my life, when you were tested, one person on some material, whatever that material was, and you ran through the test, and they asked you 20 questions, and you scored, maybe you scored 75 on those questions. If you got together with a group of three or more and ran through the same test, you always scored better, because the three of you or the four or five of you can get together, and you can see things from a different perspective. It's a good, wise people listen to advice from other people. It's a good thing for all of us to do. Wise men stay away from evil influences. Wise men stay away from evil influences. Again, Proverbs warns us a little bit there. Proverbs 14, verse 16. A wise man feareth and what? Departeth from evil. But the fool raggeth and raggeth, and he beareth himself, or he is reckless and is what? Self-confident. He's confident. He's reckless and he's careless. That's a wise man stays away from things that he knows are not right. And that helps. I was in a store the other day. Matter of fact, it was Firestone down here. One of their store mottos is that Harvey Firestone made this comment one time that a good business is built on honesty. Now, I don't know anything about that business. I had taken a car in for somebody else who had a tire that had been damaged and needed to be changed. But I got to know, that's a great motto. A business that's built on honesty is a business you can trust. And I think most of us would like to look for an automobile mechanic that we can trust if we can't do everything ourselves. This day in town, it's impossible to do all that. We don't have the computers and things to do it. So we need to trust somebody else. But if you can't trust that automobile mechanic, that's something you really have a problem with. But evil wise men stay away from evil influences. They look toward those things that are honest and those things that are correct and right. And at the same time, when they can do that, then they can build a good business that you and I can depend on. Honest people stay away from evil influences. I want to move on a little bit. Honest people appreciate those who correct them. How many times have you been in the world where people did not want to be corrected? See that a lot, don't we? And at the same time, we talked about criticism maybe in some other ways. Someone pointed out to me one time, even constructive criticism is still criticism. And constructive criticism for all of us is hard to take sometimes, isn't it? Okay, how you approach people makes a big difference. Yes, it does. Sure does. And at the same time, though, some people, no matter how you approach them, don't want to hear anything. They don't want to hear the criticism. Yet at the same time, what is the advantage of that? What is the advantage of constructive criticism if you will listen to it? Pardon? You gain wisdom, yes. I saw another hand up. Edify you, is build you up. As a Phil?
In Proverbs 12:1, I thought we thought this was pretty good on that. It says, whosoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid.
But he who hates correction is stupid. Proverbs, what, 10:1? 12:1. 12:1, that's right. Look at the advantages of studying Proverbs. I mean, he just puts his finger right straight on it, doesn't he, Glenn? Yeah, some of the worst people are folks who think they're wise and they're not. A wise man appreciates those who correct them. We have several passages here. Proverbs 3, verses 11 through 12. My son, despise not the what? The chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his corrections. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth or chasteneth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Which one of us as a father or a mother as a parent would not want to guide our children in the right direction? We would not want to let our children start lying to us, would we? We would not want to let our children start cheating or stealing or something like that. We would want to correct them in the things that they were doing so we could guide them in the proper way. And yet, if a child rears up and becomes rebellious, what did the law, the old law, say was to be done with a rebellious child? Stone them to death. Wow. But a rebellious child was, but, you know, at the same time, look at what, are we rebellious as children of God sometimes? You know, aren't we glad that God has the attitude that the prodigal son's father had? He let him go. But he was sure glad to get him back. And when he came back, he forgave him. Aren't we glad that as Christians, that even if we live a life that we shouldn't live, but if we heed to corrections and listen to our Heavenly Father, He'd be wise with him to bring us back. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration to God and is what? Profitable. For what? For doctrine? For reproof? For correction? For instruction? For doctrine? Reproof? Correction and instruction. All scripture, including the Old Testament, you know, and the examples that are given there, some of the principles that are stated there, are good for us to use in so many ways. Wise men appreciate those who correct them. One of the stories that I really like to, I've always liked to, from a management standpoint, things like Admiral Rickover. Admiral Rickover really was a unique person. He's the father of our nuclear navy. He was a brilliant man. He's very strong, very powerful. He'd go to Congress and tell Congress what they were going to do for him, for the nuclear navy. We really owe him an awful lot. A naval ship this day and time can go out with with that nuclear reactor loaded, and I believe that nuclear reactor is good for about 10 years operating on that one load. Some of them maybe five, depending on the design of the reactor, but they don't have to stop and get fuel somewhere. They don't have to stop and get oil and diesel anywhere. They can stay on course much longer than the men and women who serve on it. But Admiral Rickover put that together a lot of ways. Interviewing. Admiral Rickover interviewed a guy one time, and this is a true story. He said, he brought this kid in, he said, now you want to work for me, and I don't know that you really want to work for me, I need to find out. He said, you've got 10 seconds to do something that makes me angry. 9, 8, 7. And the kid's sitting there, what? He wants this job, and he's talking to this powerful man. What can he do? 3, 2, and there was a pile of papers and things on the corner of his desk, and the kid reached up and went, knocked that whole pile of papers, scattered them all over the office. Rickover just kind of, you made me mad. And he hired the boy. Bob Doe, quite hire him. Huh? He obeyed. What else? More important than that, what else? Made him mad, but what else? Huh? Use his imagination also, but see, Rickover was smart enough to know that even as smart as he was, every decision he made was not always the best decision. And he wanted somebody that was willing to stand up to him and say, Admiral, this is a dumb idea. And here's why. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If this guy's going to cow down and say, well, I don't know, then he doesn't want that guy working for him. He built a team of people who were willing to get back in his face and tell him he was a wise man. He was willing to listen to people who corrected him. Let me get off my soapbox and move on. They wise men help others to be wise. Wise men help others to be wise. Proverbs 13:20. He that what? Walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Bad company, changes our character. It sure can. That's a good point. Bad company can change our character. It's easy to see how that happens. We're influenced by other people in several ways. A wise man, and why does he do this? A wise man helps other people get on the wagon and help carry the load. Why does he do that? Versus, a lot of other people who lack wisdom, they put people down. They want to show how smart they are, how much they know, how good they are. But a wise man helps build other people up. Why is that? Do what now? It makes the job easier for everybody, because if you're going to put other people down, you're going to end up doing the job yourself, are you not? You're going to have to do everything. But if you can help other people understand the entire job, not just their little narrow area of it, but if they understand the whole approach and they understand what contributions they make to the whole, that's true in church as well. Every one of us makes a contribution here to this congregation, one way or the other. So, and there are things that each of you have as talents and abilities that other people don't have. And collectively, the work can be spread out and we can do a lot more. And what is it? We say a lot of times, unfortunately, that 20% of the people do 80% of the work, or maybe even more. Maybe it's 90% of the people do 10% of the people do 90% of the work. I don't know, but there's things that we could all be doing to help the congregation grow better, to help the church. Wise people help others become wise. If you look at going back to the business world a little bit, if you want to be promoted, let's say, in the business world, how do you get a promotion? What are some of the elements you have to get a promotion? You've got to do a good job. You've got to do a good job. But what else? You can't. That's not enough. Huh? You've got to have leadership qualities, but what else? You've got to be willing to help others, but what else? Well, but how do you get promoted if you have not trained somebody and brought somebody up who can take your place? If you are indispensable where you're at and nobody else, how do you get promoted? How does a Christian get promoted? I don't guess we get promoted from that standpoint, but what is our job as a Christian? To help other people find Christianity. To help other people see the light. That's our job. Just like in work. If we at work, we cannot climb the ladder of success as such unless we help other people climb the ladder as well. You just cannot do it by yourself. We've got to actively promote other people so that there's a benefit there. Tom? Sure.
I'll give you an example of that. A child has a level of one, maybe. A teenager may be a level of three or four. Their parents, 8 or 9, maybe the elders and deacons, and people in the church have been in the church a long time, maybe a 10. Just to give you a range of wisdom.
said, "Hey, I've got a problem. Can you help me with this problem?" But they never do that.
That's true. There's
teenagers always go to somebody, some of their peers, to get answers, which is very often suggested they get from their peers is better than what they would do themselves, but not anything like as good as they could get from their peers, for instance. That's its problem, and I don't know how to solve it. Every teenager goes through that.
I'm not sure how you solve that either. What he's talking about is different levels of understanding, different levels of wisdom that people have, where someone who maybe is a teenager, does their level of understanding and wisdom is lower than that, say, of the parents, lower than that of, say, older folks that could help them, influence them in their life. And yet a lot of times they go to and listen to that younger person who doesn't have all the benefits. And I think that's another reason why I think the Bible tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the beginning of understanding. Because why? The Bible tells us to go to parents. The Bible tells us to go to those who are wiser. The Bible instructs us to not listen to those who we've talked about even here, that the fool does not listen to wise counsel. And at the same time, it admonishes Proverbs, all through Proverbs, the young people are admonished to listen to their fathers and their mothers. You know, I saw this in a story the other day, and I saw something about a sign, I think it said to teenagers, you know, get out and get yourself a job while you know everything and pay your own bills. Something to that effect, while you still know everything. And yet at the same time, look at the wisdom that you picked up from your parents at some point in time. And if you listen to it, I think you can maybe go back and look at it at our age now and say, wow, I'm happy I did that because that was smart. Gloria, you had a comment? That's a good point. You know, she was coming off of what Melinda had said about the approach. You know, and I know Gloria's learned what she talked about from experience too, because we raised two boys and we had to learn that, didn't we? We really had to learn that because we wanted to at one point tell us this is the way it's going to be, and boy, you know, that just didn't always work. But still, good point. If we can approach it the right way and give some advice. Bob?
Yeah, I guess what I found out going along with teenagers, the older I got, my parents got a whole lot smarter.
Yeah. I think we've all been there, done that. The older we got, the smarter our parents got. I can remember it, too. I can remember seeing things, and I thought, now I know why my dad did that. Now I know what my dad was talking about. I may have passed this on to some other folks here, and when Tom and I were growing up, I remember I heard it all the time. Two boys is half a boy, and three boys is no boy at all. And what in the world does that mean? I just never could figure that out. What's three boys, no boys, no boy at all? And I realized when I had two teenage boys, you get two or three teenagers together, two or three teenage boys, you get two boys together, got half a brain. You get three or more boys together, got no brains at all. That's exactly what my daddy was telling me back then. Of course, he was applying that to me and to Steve and Tom and stuff when we were growing up. But I look back at it and I realize, put two or three teenage boys together, sometimes they just don't have a brain amongst them. And that's a little bit of what we're talking about here. But if we can utilize some of the opportunities that we have as Christians, too, to advise some other people, that's a great thing. The wise know how to handle knowledge. The wise know how to handle knowledge. And here he talks about Solomon, expressed it this way in Ecclesiastes, the third chapter in verse 7. There is a time to keep silent and a time to speak. He also said in Proverbs 10:14, the wise man does what? Lays up knowledge. How do you do that? How do you lay up knowledge? Okay, we have a savings account at the bank. We can lay up money in that savings account. How do you lay up knowledge? Pardon? You study. You study. You read. Tom's pointing to his mind, you know, you think about it. What are some other things you can do? Pardon?
Apply
it. Experiences. Good. Yes. All these things help us add to our base of knowledge. And the better and the broader and the stronger the base of knowledge is, what's that do for us? Helps us make better decisions. Helps us make better choices in life. Helps us help other people make good decisions and good choices. How about if we build up a base of knowledge in this book? That also helps us to share it with others because we're more confident of what we've talked about, and we know that the writer of this book didn't put anything in here that wasn't correct and wasn't right. If we can understand it correctly, if we can hold it correctly, good, okay? She quoted scriptures. Good point. Sister Mayfield has so much scripture in her head, she can quote things from that one. And that's a good thing. You know, but we try to do some of this. Look at some of the things that David's trying to do with the young people and doing a good job of it with the young people. The songs that they're learning. I can remember some of those songs when I was that age. And they've carried me through all these years. You know, it's a good thing we can teach our kids things like that. But also I can remember, too, going to Sunday school classes when I was a kid when I was expected to learn a memory verse every week. We've kind of gotten away from some of that. But I was expected to learn a memory verse every week. I can remember when we were expected to learn more than just a memory verse. A lot of those things that we get and we put in that foundation of knowledge helps us to handle knowledge and wisdom later on in life. The more we can put together that way, the more we can study, the more we can learn, that's good. Proverbs 29:11, we read, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it till afterwards. You know, a lot of times I know in myself, I've caught myself trying to think, you know, I shouldn't have said that. Could have waited on me. That was not the best timing for that. You know, that's one of those things that we were talking about with experience. It's hard to learn just how to get that timing right sometimes. And I think we learn that maybe by bad experiences. But a wise man knows how to handle knowledge. He can dispense that knowledge when he needs to. The lips of the wise dispense knowledge. The lips of the wise dispense knowledge. But the heart of the foolish doth not so. Indeed, a word what? Fitly spoken. The word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. And there is a time when the man of knowledge spareth his words. Okay, just because you've got that knowledge doesn't mean you spit it out all the time. That's very true. If you can hold it to the right time. You know, one of the things as an elder that a lot of times you hear and know of a lot of things that are going on in people's families and in people's lives. You don't go out and share all that with everybody. One, you may not have all the information yet, but also, everybody doesn't need to know. You know, there may be turmoil in someone's life that you're aware of. And, you know, that's another thing, too. I've always been kind of amazed that as an elder, you get information from all sorts of directions and angles you never thought of. But you, a lot of times when a problem comes to you, you already have heard of the problem. You already know a little bit about it. But, you know, you don't always share that with everybody. You have to, you need to hold that back a little bit. And it may just all, if you pay attention, you know, after a while, it may just work itself out and take care of itself. And that's a good thing if it does. The wise may become even wiser. Why would that be? If he's done all these other things, he would be wiser, right? He would build up that knowledge. He built up that base of information. He would continue to do those things that help him gain wisdom. Give instruction to a wise man and he will yet be wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. The wise love their own souls as well as the souls of others. The wise man said in Proverbs 19, verse 9, he that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. And he that keepeth understanding shall find good. And when we go back and look at our lives and look at the good that we've had in our lives, don't we a lot of times think, hey, I've made some good choices. I've made the right choices. That's why I've been able to get to the level I'm at, to where I'm at. I've made some good choices in life. And if we can learn to be wise and make good choices, that helps us out a good bit. 1 Timothy 4, 20 and 18. Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. Paul is instructing Timothy, you know, it's one thing to help other people, but we've also got to take care of ourselves. You know, if you spend all your time helping other people, that's a good thing. I don't mean that, I'm not throwing cold water on that at all. But sometimes I have seen people before who have spent so much time, maybe a preacher, for instance, who spent so much time working on his job as a preacher, he neglected his family, and it caused problems. Or an elder who spent so much time working on trying to help other people, neglected his family, and some things fell apart. You've got to take care of yourself as well, because one day you will stand in judgment. This is one of those things that I think I really appreciate your comments and your help in class. And one of the things I think people who miss Sunday school and Wednesday night classes, they miss some of the opportunity to hear some of the reflections of, you know, Shirley Curvin the other day, we were talking about how it would be good maybe as a Christian if you had a yearly review like we have at work, how good a job have you done. And Shirley's comment, I had never thought about it, a brilliant comment. Don't tell Shirley I said that. But Her comment was, maybe when trials and troubles come our way, maybe that's that time for self-reflection. Maybe that's that time when we need to go back and look at our service review with God. I had never thought of it that way. That is an awful good way to look at it. And I'm glad that you all are here to help us participate in this. Thank you very much for your help this morning.